despite all those things that we have in life that make life easy, you know, like the cell phone and the, you know, the television, you know, that makes life easy. You know, computers, things like that. Despite all these things that make life easy, why do we feel so much oppression in our life? You know, this world, you know, we create things constantly. We're constantly making things, creating things. And to help our lives be a lot easier, a lot simpler, to take some weight off of us. But yet, we are still burdened. We are still oppressed. Why are we so oppressed? What is going on in our life? Why do we feel the way we feel? You know, we go to work and, you know, we dread going to work sometimes. And yet work is supposed to draw out our dignity. It's supposed to help us to recognize our dignity as human beings. It is. Work is supposed to make us realize our dignity. And yet we find work so oppressive. Yeah, it goes back to the curse of Adam. Exactly. But we're always supposed to break that curse. We're supposed to break that curse in our life. And how do we break that curse? You know, you know the curse that was placed on Adam, that by the sweat of your brow. Okay, by the sweat of your brow. So it would be tough. Okay? But see, we're supposed to break that curse. So how do we break that curse? You know, if work is oppressive and we're feeling that oppression at work, and then we go home where we're supposed to feel a freedom, a joy, you know, a relief, and yet we go home and we feel a burden at home. What's going on in our lives that's creating all this burden within our lives, despite what we have created to make life easy? You know, I think the very first reading from the prophet Isaiah really calls this to our attention here. It says, "If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech." How many of us are involved with that? If you remove, think about the environment sometimes. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech. How many of y'all participate in that? I'll raise my hand. You know, when we do that, I think, you know, and all of us here, what we're doing is we're striving for holiness. I think every one of us who come to Mass, we want that holiness. We want a pattern. We want something that's going to help us, some information that's going to help us to be happy, to be joyful, to draw out that goodness which is in the deep of our heart there, which is there. And we want that. We want that information to draw that out, because I think one of the things that happens to us is that because we're striving for holiness, each and every one of us, we begin to have a deep self-hatred. Isn't that weird? When we strive for holiness, we have a deep self-hatred. Why is it that we have a deep self-hatred? One of the blessings that I have from hearing confessions is I get a deep understanding of this within the heart of the human being, is and how to remove this from our lives. And, you know, I think one of the reasons why we have that deep self-hatred is because we know we're better than the way we're acting. We know we can be a better worker. We know that we can speak much better than we are speaking about others. We can do greater things. And I think the answer to all of this is, see, you hear that, what I'm saying. We know that we can be. And the answer to that is charity. It's acting out in charity, because listen to what follows afterwards. Because, see, we're so oppressed. How are we going to relieve that oppression from our lives? Through an act of charity, through little acts of charity within our life daily. Listen to what it says. If you remove from your midst oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech, if you bestow your bread on the hungry and satisfy the afflicted. Do you hear that? Acts of charity. Then light will rise for you in your darkness, in the darkness, and the gloom shall become for you like midday. In other words, that oppression will dissipate. It will begin to leave us, because we are actually fulfilling what we know we are called to be is much holier. We're acting on that holiness. And you know, it is not simple in our lives to do that. It's very difficult to do that. And see, Jesus calls us to be the salt of the earth and the light to the world. What does that mean? Well, how can those acts of charity that I'm talking about do that? Okay, how can it draw out the goodness? Because see, when we act charitable on somebody, we're going to draw out that goodness. And that's what we're called to do. That's what salt does. Salt, if you know how your food can be bland, it's like, and you want a better taste to it, so you throw salt on it to draw out the taste. That is how we need to act within our homes and within our office spaces and when we're on the road. We need to throw out those acts of charity towards people to draw out the goodness within the person. To draw out that goodness. And see, when we begin to draw out the goodness, then what begins to transpire in our life? We begin to feel better about ourselves. We have less hatred for ourselves when we begin to draw out Christ within the other person. When we begin to draw out Christ within the other person, then we begin to feel better about ourselves. The gloom seems to dissipate. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. You know, Saint Therese of Lisieux, she was a great saint. She was the saint of the little way, you know, the little way. And why the little way? Because she spoke about doing little acts of charity constantly. Little acts of charity, not great acts, but little acts, those little acts of charity that affect people on a daily basis. And there was one situation with Saint Therese. She was in her convent. Like I said, it wasn't easy for her. It's never easy for the saints. We always think, oh, the saints have it so easy. They don't. What made them saints is because they cooperated with the grace of God in their lives. They fulfilled that calling to holiness. And yeah, it was difficult for them, but they were at peace. Despite what they suffered, they were at peace. Okay? Because I'm not saying you're going to receive a bunch of peace, a bunch of joy and stuff, but you're going to be interiorly at peace. So Saint Therese, in this one situation, there was this old nun in her convent, and the old nun was always picking on her, you know, making her feel bad, just being constantly nagging and mean to Saint Therese. And Saint Therese kept doing acts of kindness towards her all the time. And finally, you know, after a few years of this, you know, the old nun asked Saint Therese, "Why are you so kind to me?" Couldn't understand why in the world was saying, because the old nun recognized that she was being a jerk, okay? "Why are you so kind to me?" And St. Therese's answer was simple. "Because I see God in you." See, when we speak maliciously about people, we don't see that goodness. But if we switch gears and we begin to look for the good in a person, and we begin to see that good, we begin to thank God for that goodness within the person itself. And then we begin to treat that person better, despite the way they're treating us or despite the way they're acting. But in treating them better, when we begin to do that, when we begin to see that goodness within them, what we do is we're like that salt which begins to then draw out the goodness within their life. Husband and wives, do that with one another. Do that with your kids. Draw that goodness out of each other so that your home will be a home of peace, not of negativity. Be that light which dispels the darkness there within the lives of others by bringing to them the truth that God loves them and God wants them to be complete and whole, to embrace the dignity of being a son or daughter. It's not easy. It's difficult at times. It's a struggle. And if we walk into it expecting the person to treat us great and all this and honor us for being nice to them, then we're going to struggle doing it. Because remember, we're doing it for God. We aren't doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for God and to draw the goodness out of the person so the person can see God at work within their lives. And in our work, if we're all bummed out with work and angry with work and just like, we're like, You know, work is difficult for us. We hate our work. I swear, I believe this We hate our work because we aren't applying ourselves to our work. And we know we aren't applying ourselves in our work. And so we hate our work because it's not the fullness of who I am. I know I can be better, but I'm not applying myself to my work. Therefore, I hate my work. Don't hate your work. Hate your slothfulness. In work, we should find the dignity of our human person. If we are not finding the dignity of our human person, then we have to ask, am I fully applying myself to my work? Am I doing extra work? Okay, I complete my task. Well, there's always extra to do. And when we begin to do that, we begin to feel the dignity that work applies to us, that gives to us. And then we become a good example to other people. They might feel like, oh my God, defensive of us because we're outdoing them. But remember, we aren't outdoing them to show them up. We're doing what we're doing to give glory to God, because that's what it comes down to, as the gospel says. Just so that your light must shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father. It is about God and not about us. And when we begin to glorify God in our lives, in our words, our actions, then we begin to feel the grace of God at work in our life, and that gloom dissipates, and we begin to encounter the dignity of our human person, and then the joy begins to fill our lives, and we are at peace with ourselves.